This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
Rocco Palmo joining us live on WBEN this morning with the Loggia, former correspondent for The Tablet. The conclave begins Wednesday. Rocco, the tradition of choosing a pope is so unlike anything else in our lives because of the secrecy surrounding it. When the cardinals close the door on the Sistine Chapel, we won't see them again until we see white smoke. Talk about this secretive tradition.
Well, Susan, you know, what's interesting is that it's beyond just the ritual of it. It's actually the oldest election in the world. This has been going on for over 1,000 years. So, beyond that, you know, it's, and the other interesting thing is, but unlike any other or most other elections, every voter is a potential candidate. So you have some interesting cross currents here. You know, as I always tell people, especially over the years, Pope Francis was remaking the College of Cardinals to expand it, to internationalize it. Like, there are 20 more cardinals in this time than there were voting. It's the largest conclave in history, and they're from about 22. There are about 22 more countries represented in the Sistine Chapel this time than there ever have been. But I always told people, it's not just that the cardinals elect the pope; one of them will be the next pope. Unless they're breaking an 800-year custom. So, but above all, for them, you know, people are looking at horse race and, you know, treating this like some sort of secular election. It's not. It begins in the minds of the cardinals from a place of prayer. It begins from a place of really deep thought. And they're all trying to kind of expand their minds. They all have their local situations. For example, right across the lake, you got Toronto, who has two cardinals going in. The retired cardinal, Tom Collins, and his successor, Frank Leo, who's 53, who just was elevated in December. But they're all trying to expand from where they're at every day and basically saying, what's the situation of the church in places I don't really have a bead on? And they're hearing it in the voices of the other cardinals. And a calculus is still forming as to what the result's going to look like. And, you know, there's an old Italian saying, il Papa si fa in conclave, which means the Pope is made in the conclave. That means not by the newspapers or media. It means not by the great powers of the world. It's made in that process of prayer and really silence and what wells up from within them.
So you mentioned, though, that, you know, from the outside, it is kind of treated like a regular election, like a horse race, where you already have sites overseas placing odds on who is going to be elected the next pope. And I'm wondering how these names kind of come up as somebody who might be viewed as a favorite, so to speak, to become the next pope. Are the names that we talk about before the cardinals go into the conclave the names that we kind of hear at the end who do become the next pope, or is it completely unrelated? How do we look at, you know, a quote-unquote favorite?
It depends, Brian. See, I'll give you a trivia question. At the last conclave in 2013, the then Cardinal Bergoglio, who was elected Pope Francis, where did he stand in the ranking of the London...
I'd have to look at my bet slip.
No. 43rd.
Hmm.
Oh. Out of 115. So, but how do these lists come up? You know, it's weighted toward, and it's a particular danger this time. It's weighted toward those who are known by virtue of whatever major position they hold. For example, you know, we've heard to no end that Francis's top deputy, Cardinal Pietro Parolin, the Secretary of State in the Vatican, is a front runner. And well, again, people are looking at what they know. But again, Francis has expanded this College of Cardinals to so many places that, you know, folks here in the global north, even the entire Anglo-European conversation would not figure, you know, even, for example, in a place like Malaysia, the cardinal is not in Kuala Lumpur, the capital, but in a, you know, smaller diocese at the outskirts. For example, it'd be like taking, instead of having the Archbishop of New York being the cardinal for your part of the world, making the Bishop of Buffalo a cardinal. Well, you know, and it's a very sensitive time up there. He's kind of undergoing bloodshed in a different way with all the parish closings. But so again, it's weighted toward people's own experiences, but there's so much more out there. I think Francis was discounted last time. He had been the runner-up in 2005, and he actually had 8 years to think about, well, if I were Pope, I could have done this, this, and this, and then it happened. So we had this shock and awe of those first days where he so much changed just in terms of style. But again, I think people are looking at, you know, a political calculus and not a church calculus. It's a 1.4 billion member church that is represented in every corner of the world, that has unique assets and challenges in every corner of the world. And every time these cardinals go in, they don't start with a list of names. They start with a question of what is the situation of the church today? And is like a question 1A, what is the situation of the church in the wider world? What kind of pope does the wider world need, you know, once you've thought about the church? And you can't invent that in a lab, so you kind of have to look at the situation. You know, I think the outside world's doing this too, as much as they know about the church. But you have to find some answer in human form, because again, it's not like you can just say ChatGPT or AI. We need this, and this in a pope, and it'll spit you out one.
Rocco, do you think this will be a long or short conclave?
Well, Susan, long is relative. There have been conclaves that have gone 3.5 years in the past. I don't think we're in danger of that. At one point, for one election, I think it was in the 1300s, the cardinals, they were locked in as a way of, the whole way this custom began was basically as a way of forcing the cardinals to decide. The people of Rome locked the cardinals in and said, okay, you have to figure out what to do, because there had been a vacant papacy for a year and a half. And then at a later conclave, they hadn't decided after a year or whatever it was, and they tore the roof off the place where they were, so they were open to the elements. But anyway, not long in the sense of, you know, I would see at the longest, maybe Sunday. After 3 days of voting, they have to take a one-day break if we get to that point. You know, they know once they're in there, even though they have no contact with the, like literally every cardinal, when he shows up at the Vatican Hotel to check in where he'll be staying for, he has to surrender every electronic device. You are searched for anything that may be a communications device on you, you know, just to make sure you're not bringing in wiretaps or anything like that. So as of right now, I'm thinking it's going to be two overnights in, which means we would have an election on Friday, because they're still trying to figure out the kind of profile they want. Because again, you have 18 more electors. Last time it took 77 votes to make a pope. This time it takes 89, but at the same time, 45 can block someone, because you need 2/3 of 133. And people look at the 89, they don't look at the 45. And those last 10 to 12 votes historically have always been the toughest to get.
Well, it's very interesting. I know a lot of people would love to have that look inside. And we thank you for helping us understand a little bit more. Rocco Palmo joining us, the Loggia, former U.S. correspondent for The Tablet. And Rocco, hopefully we can connect again as soon as this process starts to play out.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period.
That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.